Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to John 21. And reading from verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself. They were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. And he did cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid thereon, and bread. I'd just like to ask the question. Now, where did these fish come from that were already being cooked? Where did the bread come from? Where did the fish come from? Who caught them? Could it be the resurrected Lord Jesus did a little fishing before the brethren arrived ashore? Think about that. I want you to think about this for a minute or so, because we're going to look more into this resurrection story. Now Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And all there were so many. Yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing it was the Lord? Why would they even ask if they recognized him? It's because they didn't recognize his body. All right? He didn't look 50 years old any longer. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Notice, he didn't show himself to anyone else. He showed himself to the disciples. Now this morning I want to address the doctrine of Christ, because if you do not use it as your plumb line to measure all quotes and scriptures against, you're going to have a shipwreck. And as you know, Brother Vail had mentioned the sign of Messiah, and that was a sign that God had given to the people before the resurrection. And he emphasized the sign of Messiah was before the resurrection. And then during the resurrection, there were many infallible proofs of the resurrection of Christ, a different sign altogether. Now when Brother Vail made a comment that Brother Branham referred to his ministry as a sign of Messiah, and said he did not refer to it as a sign of the resurrection, I thought he must have overlooked many quotes of Brother Branham's on this subject, because I knew that there were many, many quotes from which Brother Branham referred to what was happening in his ministry as a sign of Jonas or the sign of the resurrection. But Brother Vail's purpose in bringing out the sign of Messiah was to show that only those who accepted the message of Messiah, or let's face it, the message and ministry of Messiah, were given to only those who received that ministry were given the privilege to witness the infallible proofs of the resurrection. A clear delineation between the two. That is in contrast to many who believe Brother Branham will have a return ministry to the public. Now I know this because I was associated for many years with many of the brethren who taught that Brother Branham would have a White House showdown. Remember those things, Ron? Brother Branham's going to stand on the White House lawn, have a showdown with the White House, such things like that. But if we believe the Scriptures is our pattern, the ministry of Christ is the Alpha, in the Alpha is to be repeated in the Omega, then the resurrection ministry will not be an open show this time, as it was not an open show that time. The Scriptures speak of Christ appearing to only those who were looking for him, and to those who had already received the Messianic sign. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 1, we'll read from verse 3. It says, To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Also Matthew 27:52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. There's another scripture, I didn't have time to find it, but where it says that there was as many as 500 witnesses. Now, no one knows just how much Jesus did in this resurrection ministry because it wasn't a public show. There are quite a few scriptures that tell us when Jesus appeared to his disciples, or that one, this one, and he did some pretty spectacular things. And if Jesus did some fishing then, in a resurrected body, why is it so strange for people to believe that Brother Branham is going to get that bear in a resurrected body? Now come on, let's be fair. If Jesus did fishing and had fish present, why would it be such a strange thing for Brother Branham to get a bear that God had given him a vision of, and the visions never fail? I don't have a problem with that. But I just want you to keep your mind open. And those out there who are listening to the sermon, I'm speaking to those who have it all figured out, how that Brother Branham won't have a ministry when he returns in the resurrection, and he won't go hunting. Who says so? Is this your plan? Are you God? If the resurrected Jesus fished when he came back with his nail-scarred hands, is it so strange if a resurrected hunter, prophet, goes hunting after his resurrection? And you know, I don't think that he's going to miss it this time. So we hear John tell us in John 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his, what? Disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So John says there's many other things that he did. I didn't write in this book. So you don't know what it is. You can only speculate. He also said in John 21 and verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. So we think, well, many. How many is many? Is it 7? Is it 10? Is it 15? Is it 20? Is it 30? Is it 100? Well, John says, and there also were many other things that Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one of them, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen, he says. And I say amen to that too. I'm looking forward to the time of the resurrection. The world will know nothing about it, but you talk about a wonderful time. You talk about a wonderful time. We're going to see coming up. Now, when understanding that Alpha must repeat in Omega, Brother Bell was showing us that only those who have accepted the sign of Messiah in this day will be privy to the resurrection ministry as far as he could see it by the scriptures. And I've always taught that as well. Is not that what we see in the Alpha? John says many signs he did which were not even written in this book, and he did those in the presence of his disciples. Then he says, and if they should be written, every one of them, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. That gets me excited to think of what's going to take place in those 40 days or so. So you think he did some pretty fantastic stuff? Then what do you have to look forward to in the soon future when the resurrection takes place? Now, Brother Bell admitted that some people call it a return ministry, while others call it a new ministry. But to be very scriptural, he said we must call it the resurrection ministry, because Alpha repeats in Omega. Now, there are some who believe, and they will say, well, when Brother Branham comes back in the resurrection, he won't have a ministry. Who says so? Who are you to break the pattern of Alpha and Omega? If that ministry, which Brother Branham, vindicated prophet of God, said was an identical ministry to the first, the Alpha ministry, and it repeats in the Omega. Look, he always taught us, a prophet's born a prophet. When Moses and Elijah come back to Israel after having been gone for several thousand years, do they come back as just a person? Or do they come back as two prophets? Hallelujah. They got a ministry again. A resurrection ministry to the Jews. You see? I like this. It's getting more and more. Now, there are many who do believe that Brother Branham will come back and repeat his ministry before the public. But I just don't see that at all, not based on the Alpha Omega principle. And even Brother Branham himself said it would not be a public show this time. So let's face it, except for the Africa and India trips, his ministry dealt mostly with a gathering of local churches. He didn't use television, he didn't use other mass media to promote his ministry like Oral Roberts did and the others. And if he didn't then, we shouldn't be doing that either. Now from his sermon, Balm in Gilead, or the Balm of Gilead, Brother Branham said, "But remember, brother, that message is supposed to shake the nation or shake the church. Don't you look for some great something to come down on corridors. The message of God will be exactly to the elected church. These signs and wonders will never be done before the world. They're not supposed to be. President of the Four Rose Whiskey Company, his wife was, she's a missionary alliance, and she was in one of the meetings, and she called Brother Bosworth, which was a missionary alliance, and she said, the thing of it is, you're not letting that gift get started out. She said, what I seen last night would be done in the capitals and so forth of the nation. Why, he said, it would convert, it'd bring the whole world to Christianity. But you see, it's not sent to the capitals of the nations. So how in the world, if it's not sent to the capital of the nations, is Brother Branham going to stand at the capitol or at the White House and have a showdown? See, it's sent to the elected. As one brother said, he can have a showdown right from the pulpit, right from the tent, wherever he's at. It's sent to the elected church, you see. You're not, oh, they say, put your name on a great big signs and hit the big nerve centers, get on television. But it wasn't meant for that. The fact is, in the third pole or tent ministry, or more accurately stated, the resurrection ministry, will not be a public display, but will be to the elect who receive the sign of Messiah in this hour. So my question is, have you received it? Taken it into you? Fully embraced it? Again from a sermon, what is a vision? Brother Branham said, now here's something, notice close. There's a difference between the angel of the Lord and that light. Because I heard something moving as it does when it comes on the platform at night. Kind of like a shoo, and like a fire whipping around, licking blaze. And it left me and it went right down over the top of that audience and went and stood over the top of that little building. Then it settled down on top of it. And then when it did this, this one that was standing by me, behind me, that same voice, the angel's voice, he said, I'll meet you in there, and this is the third pole, but nobody will know nothing about it. And I said, well, I don't understand why in there. Why there? He said, it'll not be a public show this time. I said, I don't understand going into that closet like that. And he said, is not it written by the Lord, when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites, who like to be heard before all men? But enter into a secret closet and pray to the Father who seeth in secret, and he who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's perfectly to the Scripture every time it is. And I said, I understand it. Then he took me to a place and set me down in a room where I was at. And then he told me what to do for the third time. Now, Christian friends, when I leave this world, that'll still be in my bosom. But you mark my word, that what's going to take place. And from the message Jehovah Jireh, he said, when we get our big tent up out here somewhere, we'll take plenty of time and go through them in between the lines. Watch the resurrection thing, how it moves in there. Just beautifully. Just get in love with him and he will reveal it to you. And then I noticed that. And you know God, what did to Abraham and Sarah there? I'll tell you what he done. He turned them back to a young man and woman again. Oh, you say, Brother Brown, that's ridiculous. But he did it. He turned them back to a young man and woman. He made and meant for that. I was just sent to you, the church, and that's it. Now you believe it with all your heart. Now notice Brother Branham identifies a tent in three things here. Number one, he says, when I get my tent, we're going to go between the lines. Number two, he said, watch the resurrection in there. And number three, he alludes to the body change that will take place in there. He gives us an illustration with what took place with Abraham and Sarah. Now going between the lines, he says, when we get our big tent out, set up out there somewhere, we'll take plenty of time and go through them in between the lines. Number two, watch the resurrection in there. He says, watch the resurrection thing, how it moves in there just beautifully. And number three, he alludes to the body change that will take place. He says, you know what God did to Abraham and Sarah? I'll tell you what he done. He turned them back to young man and young woman again. Why do you think people were coming in one end of that little room, halt and maimed and missing limbs and everything else, and coming out the other side fully restored? Now let me tell you something. If a man of 90 years old comes out 90 years old, he's not fully restored. You understand? When Abraham and Sarah received their body change, he said, I'll restore unto you the time of life. Now, in setting the quotes where Brother Ram spoke of the sign of the resurrection or the sign of his resurrection or the sign of the resurrected one or the sign of resurrection, there were 72 quotes in all that I came across. And if you study them very closely, he's not speaking of the Son of God who's here with us. But rather, the one who raised up the Son of God is the one who is here among us. So in effect, we could say it is a sign of the Resurrector that is here among us. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And it wasn't the Son of God speaking. It was God speaking in the Son of Man, or the Son of God. Now the reason I bring this up is because in many of the quotes, if you do not know the doctrine of Christ, you'll make the mistake of thinking he is saying, the one who was raised from the dead is back among us. And yet it is the one who indwelt the Son of God that has returned to the church in this last hour, just like he returned to Paul in the Alpha as a pillar of fire. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 it tells us, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Then on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God totally abandoned his Son. Why? Because he gave up the ghost. He gave up the Spirit so that the Spirit could come back upon us. And that is the key right there, understanding how that God was in Christ. In John 10, verse 38, But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Notice the Father is in me. He's the one doing the works. 1 John 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, God will indwell you. Does that make you God? No more than it made Jesus God. It makes you a son of God. 2 Timothy 1:14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Again, the Holy Ghost in us. The glass, the water is in the glass. It's a glass of water, but the glass is not what you drink. You drink the water from the glass. All right? There's a difference between the water and the glass, but it's a glass of water. There's a difference between God and his Son, and yet in the Son dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2 and 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Again, just because the Spirit of God may dwell in you, does it not make you God? Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. John 14, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. John 14:10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. So who's performing, the body, the man, or the God indwelling the man? John 14:20, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, the Father's in me, and I in you, and you in me. John 14:7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou knowest me not, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believeth that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The same one that's talking to you right now, the same one that's dwelling in me, is going to be dwelling in you, only in a different measure. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. I will come unto you. When does a person no longer be an orphan? When they're adopted. You see, this is the hour of adoption. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So let us never forget the doctrine of Christ when you read any quote, any scripture. Because just as certain as you do, you'll be tested in your revelation. Therefore, you must always ask yourself which Jesus is Brother Branham speaking of when he refers to the name Jesus. Otherwise, when you hear Brother Branham mention the name Jesus, or else you will revert back to your oneness mindset. From 2 John verse 3, Grace be with you and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. But look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now the pillar of fire was not the Son of God. The Son of God was a man. The pillar of fire was the Father of glory who indwelt in that fire, who indwelt the burning bush, who indwelt in his Son, and who came back to meet Paul on that road to Damascus, and who came down in the hour, in this hour, and had his picture taken with William Branham, his end time Elijah. That same Jesus indwelt his Son Jesus, as Brother Branham said, that was Jesus in Jesus. And remember, Jesus came in his Father's name. Therefore, I have attached just a handful of quotes here that I'm going to go over with you so you can understand this a little better. Brother Branham said, from We Would See Jesus, he said, look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness? That it was Christ, the angel of the covenant, all right? And how many knows that was Jesus in Jesus? That same Spirit. Look, when they questioned him, St. John 6, calling to your attention to it, they said, you say that you're greater than Abraham. And they said, why, you're not even 50 years old yet. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I was in the burning bush. Is that right? A pillar of fire. When he was here on earth, he said, I came from God, I go back to God, or I go to God. Did he say that? And then he come from the pillar of fire, he returned back to it again. Well, who was talking when he said, I come from God, I go to God? Jesus came from the woman. God created that body and put that woman in her womb. And Brother Branham said the reason why it came through the womb, it had to come through the womb, is because it was through the womb that sin entered into the world. Therefore, God had to enter that womb and put that body of that sperm and egg together and bring forth his salvation through the same womb. Or not through the same womb, but through the womb. Now, he says, and he came, and from the pillar of fire he returned back to it again after his death, burial, and resurrection. St. Paul was on his road to Damascus, and a big bright light struck him in the face and blinded him. None of the rest of them saw it. Why? It was signs of the resurrection. Hallelujah. You see? They didn't see that pillar of fire. Paul saw it. It blinded him. He fell on the ground. What is this pillar of fire again? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Is that right? From ashamed to him. And he said, what would you do if you were sitting in the meeting and seeing God, the Holy Spirit, which is the only God there is, working among the people? God in the fatherhood, the pillar of fire, and the prophets. God in his son, then God in his people. It's just attributes of God, one great God, who covers eternity. And I said, what would you see if he, among his people, made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, look up upon the audience and tell the people what was wrong with them? And like he did when he was here on earth. And she said, I believe it would be horoscope. I said, you're in a worse shape than I thought you were. You'd be better off if you was crazy, see? You wouldn't be accountable. But I said, you're just possessed of an evil spirit. I said, when Jesus told the woman at the well about her husband, her husbands, when he looked upon the people and perceived their thoughts, would you call that horoscope? See, just so wrapped up in their denominationalism, called Lutheran, that anything contrary to that would be wrong. Now, God wants men who is wrapped up in his word. Anything contrary to that's wrong. Jesus said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Then why do people try to add to and take away from what the prophet said, what he taught? Why do they teach you a oneness concept of the Godhead? When without understanding the Son, you can't understand the pattern for adoption. From influence of another, he says, now, tomorrow we're going to teach how you become that vessel that God, the Holy Spirit, can work through you. See? He was. God was in a pillar of fire. Then he dwelt in his Son, Christ Jesus. And now, in his church. Once he was called the Father, then the Son, now the Holy Spirit. It's God projecting himself to the world. It doesn't matter what the vessel is. Like years ago, Brother Vail said, Brian. He said, God. Or he said, that pillar of rock, that rock in the wilderness was called Christ. The pillar of fire was called Christ. The pillar, the burning bush was called Christ. The cloud was called Christ. Not Jesus. Christ. But he said, get your eyes off the vessel. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. The only way he could get into the church was first die for the church to sanctify it, that he might project himself through his church. Then he said in St. John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches, and the branch just bears the fruit. The Lord bless you. From Abraham restored, he said, he was in the pillar of fire as God, Jehovah. No one could touch him. Sin was so far from him. He couldn't get near them. Then he come and overshadowed a virgin, created a blood cell in her womb. The child came forth, Jesus, holy body, neither Gentile nor Jew, God's own blood. And then the great Holy Spirit came down from heaven, the Spirit of God like a dove, descending and went on him. This is my beloved Son, correctly on the right translation, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. My Father dwelleth in me. Ask any good translator in the Scripture and find out if that's not in the Hebrew. Yes, sir. In whom I am pleased to dwell, Jesus said. The Son can do nothing in himself. Not me that doeth the works, but my Father. He dwells in me, Emmanuel. Not another God up there, another one here, another one down here. That's heathen. One God in three offices. God the Father Almighty came down and dwelt in his Son, Christ Jesus. He gave his life trying to find himself back to fellowship with his people, trying to get back. No one could pay the price, all sinners, and his own Son was made sin for us to take away our sins. And that would let the same Father God in the form of the Holy Ghost come down and dwell in us and work through us like he did his Son. That was created. Amen? There's your truth. Well, that's pretty good. Brother Branham says about 10 times in that paragraph. God was in him. God was in the pillar of fire. God was in his Son. You see? From Jehovah Jireh, he said, God always appears in the form of a man, flesh, to preach the gospel. Just before the end of the Jews, God was made manifest in a human body called Jesus, which was the Son of God. But God dwelt in his Son. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself or expressing himself through the lips of Christ, his Son. How he was his son? Because he overshadowed Mary and created a blood cell. The baby is born by the blood cell, which comes from the male, not the female. The cell of the female is only the egg. The germ life comes from the male. And from what is the works of God? He said, now when Jesus made himself known to the Jews, let's look into the scripture and see what he did to the Jews to make himself known as the Messiah. I was reading out in the book of St. John. Let's just take St. John, the first chapter, and as we read, we find out after a while, he was tempted in the wilderness. He came out, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, was in him. John bare record, seeing God descending out of heaven like a dove, and a voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. And he dwelt in Christ. God, Jehovah, the Father, dwelt in his Son, Jesus Christ, tabernacling there, manifesting himself, showing the world that what he was. That's the reason the disciples couldn't understand him. They say, you speak in riddles. It was sometimes Jesus speaking, sometimes it was the Father speaking. Now, how much more clear can you get? You see, from Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Ram said, now the Son of God had to come through a woman to be created here by the woman, by the womb of a woman, because through that same thing come death. And he could not come through creation like God did at the beginning. When God made man at the beginning, woman had nothing to do with it. God just said, let there be, and man came from the dust. He called him without any woman to have anything to do with it. But the woman that then was in the man, and God took the woman out of Adam's side, is that right? And then woman went and brought man through sex. So the only way that God could do, he couldn't come in that theophany. He couldn't come as Melchizedek. He had to come as a man. And he had to come through the woman. The seed shall bruise the serpent's head, and his head shall bruise your heel. Get it? God had to come through a woman, and he did when he dwelt in his body of his Son, Christ Jesus. So it wasn't that God took on, like Melchizedek, just took on some dust and stepped into it and came down. That body was not just dust. It was a man. And God had to come through a man. So God entered the body of his Son and acted out and did everything. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and he offered his own blood as a sacrifice and gave his life, that through the channel of death he might save you unto eternal life. Through the channel of death. What's he talking about? The womb. Amen? From here ye him. Now, like in the Son of God, now in him, in the Son of God, was the fullness of God. God, Jehovah, dwelt in his Son, Christ Jesus. We believe that, all of us do. I know there's a little fuss about that and about the Trinity and so forth like that, but that's just the carnal condition of man. They both believe the same thing, and they just won't stand still long enough to listen to it. That's all. The Trinity, they don't believe there's three gods. That's heathenism. And the oneness don't believe that Christ was his own daddy. So what would that be? See? But you both believe the same thing, but as long as you fuss, God's never going to bless you. When you just tear your walls down and be brothers and shake one another's hand, God will come in and bless you. That's exactly right. Amen. And if the people in this message will ever come to the place where they will quit their fussing and their little denominational attitudes and their organizational attitude that says you don't got it because you're not in our group, and if they would just listen to the reasoning of the Word, they would come out of their oneness stupor. And they would be blessed. And you'd see a real revival, a bride revival take place. It's happening in different places. They are coming out of their stupor. My prayer is that it'll happen here in America. But Brother Branham said, America has seen her last revival. But he said there's still a bride revival to come. They haven't had. He says the bride hasn't had a revival yet. From image of the beast, he said, then when man fell in flesh, and if God sent another individual beside himself down, he was unjust. The only way that God could justly do it was take the man's place himself. So God, what did he do? How did he do it? Did God become a man, or did God step into a man and take over that body to do it? Look, God is a spirit. He's not man. But there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. What if I made Brother Neville die for the woman here? What if I made this woman die for this woman here? If it would have been that I had rule over you, I could not just be just and do that. If I pronounce death and want you to live, I've got to take your place to justify you. And then God, who was in the image of spirit, without image rather, the Bible said, God without form, alright, then God had to take on a form. And he overshadowed a woman and created in her a blood cell, without sex or anything to do with it, and created a blood cell that developed into the Son of God, and came down and dwelt in his Son, Christ Jesus, making him God on earth. When Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us, he saith, I've been so long with you, and you don't know me. He said, why sayest thou, show us the Father? Why, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. I and my Father are one, for my Father dwelleth in me. He said, the works that I do, that's my Father doing it. The Father worketh, the Son worketh hitherto. I'm just acting out the part. From show us the Father, it'll satisfy. Brother Bram said, God's in his universe. God is in his word. God is in his Son. Now let's see if God. When he was here on earth, you say it was his Son? Yes, sir. When he was here on earth, he said he was God. He looked like God. He acted like God. He healed like God. He died like God. He rose like God. He was God. God, the Son, when God the Father came down and dwelt in his Son, Christ Jesus, and they in unity were one. That's what they was. That was God speaking. Now, how can you be in unity if there's only one? Come on. The word unity means a coming together in one. How can you be unity if you're just one? But God in unity. He said, God and His Son in unity were one. Now, for my commission, he said, he's our kinsman redeemer. Isn't that right? That God was manifested in the flesh to take our place, to be a kinsman to us. As in the book of Ruth and Exodus and so forth, how it teaches us there, how we become kinsmen to God. And God came down and dwelt in His Son, Christ Jesus, became kinfolks to us, and He was our kinsman redeemer. And a public testimony was to be made before Israel at the gates as Boaz kicked off his shoes to show him that he had firmly redeemed Naomi. And in redeeming Naomi, he got Ruth the bride and Jesus. And when he was redeemed the Israel, he got the Gentile bride. He made a public testimony. He was lifted up between heavens and earth as an ensign right outside the gates of Jerusalem. And there's where the supreme price was paid. There's where he was redeemed. And all of our inheritance was lost, our health, our strength, our salvation. All that was lost back there in the fall was redeemed at Calvary. There it is. And from whose is Melchizedek? Now notice, like the scripture, he hides with a mask over it. That's what God done to this age. It's been hid. All these things has been hid, and it's supposed to be revealed in this last age. Now the Bible says they would be revealed in the latter time. It's like a sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up, and it's been hid since the foundation of the world, and it's sevenfold mystery. And God promised in the last days at the age of this Laodicean church, he would take the mask off the whole thing, and we would see it. What a glorious thing. God and morph, masked in a pillar of fire. God and morph in a man called Jesus. God and morph in his church. God above us, God with us, God in us. The condescending of God. Up there holy, no one could touch him. He settled upon the mountain, and even if an animal touched the mountain, it had to die. And then God came down and changed his tent. And he came down and lived with us, become one of us, and we beheld him. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh. Handled with hands, God ate meat, God drank water, God slept, God cried. He was one of us. Beautiful type in the Bible. That was God above us, God with us. Now is God in us, the Holy Spirit, not the third person, but the same person all the time. From who do you say this is? He said, it's Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy Ghost. I come from God, I go to God. And we see the great pillar of fire coming among us, Lord, the same as they did in the first part of the Bible with Moses. We've seen it in the middle of the Bible when Paul was on his road to Damascus. We see it now. Here we see it at the end time again. Three is a confirmation. It's been the message each time. And why it had to be shepherds? He said, notice how, again, the never-changing God, the great shepherd prophet, took them that stayed by him and with his ministry to Mount Olive, the great shepherd prophet, the one we're speaking of, Jesus, seen and heard the Father, the same pillar of fire, vindicate him, that vindicated Moses, the same God that spoke, that Moses spoke of, come over Moses and proved by a pillar of fire that he was Jehovah that was leading Moses. God was in his shepherd prophet. He's talking about Jesus. Here he takes the other shepherd prophet, the great prophet, the real sheep, Jesus, and takes the choice of three men and takes them up to the Mount of Olives. And there vindicated Jesus. and even excommuted himself from all other people. He said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And when they looked up, they saw no man save Jesus only. That's right. He was the only one. Now that settles it as far as I'm concerned, see. And from questions and answers, congregational doctrine said he created a womb that was in a woman. He had a womb to be born in. He had no womb to be born in. He had to borrow a womb. He created the earth and had not a place to be buried in. He had to borrow a hole in the ground to be buried in. Joseph of Arimathea, see? They had to borrow a place, yet he was God. Prove that he was God. Now you understand, we are Messiah, yes, but not Jesus. He is our Father. We're just anointed with his Spirit. That's the reason, his life. And that gets people. See, if you don't get set and think it through, it gets people to believe, well, this guy could be the Messiah. Sure he is. This one over here could be. Well, they both are. See? Well, how can there be two of them? There's thousands of them. Amen? See? But you see, if his life is separated on the day of Pentecost, when the pillar of fire came down, it's separated like tongues and set upon each one of them. God dividing himself among his people because the church in Christ is one, just as the husband and wife is one. That's why the Bible says, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. In closing, Brother Branham says, from questions and answers. He said, now, after his death, burial, and ascension, and the coming of the Holy Ghost, Paul, which was Saul, on his road to Damascus, he was struck down by a pillar of fire, the Logos, and that Jew would have never called the pillar of fire Lord unless he knew it was the same Logos that his people followed through the wilderness. See? Now, that was not the Son of Man. That was a Logos. Now they say this with reverence and love and respect. See, as Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and also in the last days as it was before, last time in Sodom, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. Now, in this last days, the Logos that was upon Jesus, which he has come become from that pillar of fire again and has descended down on earth to, and I was going to say something, but I better watch the tape. They wouldn't believe that if you told them. It wouldn't make any difference. The people just wouldn't believe it. But I'll admit that. But has come down for like an investigating judgment. It goes on. And from future home, he says, city with the throne and top, Revelation 21:23, and they need no light for the Lamb, and the Lord God is the light thereof. See, the Lord God is that pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he has ascended upon the throne in that perfect kingdom, when the kingdom that Jesus is to surrender to the Father, that God might be all in all, and Jesus sits upon his throne here as our Joseph, then the King is that light that will be top of the Mount Zion, and his holy light will flood the entire city. Hallelujah. So Brother Brown says, the pillar of fire, God himself in that pillar of fire will be at the top. Then the Son of God, the Lamb. You see, then the bride, then the 144,000. And from the unveiling of God, it said there, Joseph, all of them wrote that, went on. Everyone wrote back in that day. But when Moses came on the scene, he had the revelation. He had met the pillar of fire, and it was revealed to Moses how Genesis. He had wrote the first four books of the Bible. Moses did, is that right? For he met God in the form of the pillar of fire, veiled in that pillar of fire. When Paul met him on the road, the disciples just wrote what they seen him do. But Moses had the revelation. Went down in Egypt for 3 years and studied it, and seen that the God of the Old Testament was Jesus of the New. And, well, he said Moses had the revelation, but also Paul had the revelation. He said the apostle just wrote what they saw, but Paul had the revelation of it. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, he said. That's right, that's right. And think of it. The same pillar of fire that came upon those men that wrote the Bible is the same pillar of fire here today interpreting the Bible. Amen. How we thank you for that. Same. What a comfort. What identification. I'm so glad to be identified in that. I don't know what to do. I'd rather be identified in that than all the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, and all the rest of them. Identified in that word where that Shekinah glory and revelation lays. And from the unveiling of God, he said in the Old Testament, God was hid when he was on his mercy seat. On the mercy seat by a veil. In the Old Testament, God was in his temple. But the people come in and worship like this. But remember, there was a veil, amen, that hid God. They know God was there. They couldn't see him. That pillar of fire never appeared anymore there. Did you notice? There's not one time in the Scripture from the time that that pillar of fire went in behind that veil that it ever come out again until it come from Jesus. Remember, it came down upon Jesus and come from Jesus back to Paul. God was veiled. See, in the Old Testament, he was veiled behind the curtain. In Jesus, he was veiled in Jesus. You see? When he stood on earth, he said, I come from God, I go to God. Then Paul, after his death, burial, resurrection, and on his road to Damascus, there was the pillar of fire again. What was it? Out from behind the veil. Glory to God, he was from behind the veil. And what was veiling that pillar of fire? The flesh of his Son. From the unveiling of God, Brother Branson, that's God. He changed himself from a pillar of fire to become a man. Then changed himself from that back in the Spirit again, that he might dwell in man. God acting in man, what he really was. Jesus Christ was God acting in a man. In a man. In a man. He says it three times here. That's what he was. He changed from the pillar of fire. And then had come in, which was the veil in the wilderness that hid God from Israel. Moses seen the shape of his body, but really, he was hid all the time behind this pillar of fire, which was the Logos that went from God. Now we find out now, here since Pentecost, God is not acting in man, or now he's acting through man. See, he was acting in a man then, Jesus. Now he's acting through man that he has chosen for this purpose. God in the form of man, he changed himself from the form of God to the form of man. And from the message trial, he says, and watch, there's to be a sign, and that sign must be a scriptural sign. Jesus said, I come from God, I go to God. He was the pillar of fire that was in the burning bush. They stood there one day and they said, you're a man not over 50 years old. He might have looked a little older than he really was. His ministry was heavy. And the Bible says, there was no beauty that we should desire him. Probably a little bitty fellow. He said, you say you're not over 50 years old. And not over 50 years old. And you say that you've seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I come from God. I was that pillar of fire in the wilderness. I come from God. He was made flesh, the Son of God. God overshadowed a virgin, created a blood cell that brought forth his Son, which God housed in that Son. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and I go to God. After his death, burial, and resurrection, Saul on his road to Damascus, and was stricken down by a light, that light of fire. Do you think that Jew would have called anything some kind of an illusion, Lord? When he looked up and seen that pillar of fire, he knew that that's what his fathers had followed out in Egypt. He said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Hebrews 13:8 is not the Son of God. It's God who indwelt the Son. Malachi 3:6 is the God who changes not. Let's bow our heads in prayer. To gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you, Lord, for having come down and manifested yourself to the world and purposely made known your attributes, your characteristics, your nature through your Son Jesus. And again, Father, in this day you worked through your prophet William Branham to show us what sons should be like. Help us, Father, then to be obedient sons, to follow that pattern which you displayed through two vessels. And now we pray that you display through many, many other vessels who are sons and daughters of thee. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.